some other things for a while. As a pastor, sometimes it seems like a great idea to do a cohesive series until you're about 6 weeks into it, and then you go, this may not be the best idea I've ever had. I enjoyed being talking about David, but I'm excited to talk about wisdom today and the concept of kind of gearing ourselves up. Just as kids are starting to go back to school, we're called to be people who continue to grow. One of the ways we grow as a church is by engaging in mission. And I just want to say what a privilege it's been the last few weeks to hear about this summer what all has gone on. We've heard about Slovakia a couple of times. We got to see John and Tanya last week, and to see the impact that we, through our mission giving, through our prayers, through various other avenues, have of impacting people across the world who are ostracized simply because they were born in the wrong place in the wrong time. We have had people go to Slovakia this summer. We've had people go to Arkansas, we just heard about. We had two youth and children go through Passport. I just want you to take a moment, because I feel like one of the things that happens is that as you become regular at Cross Creek, we forget how spectacular it is that we open ourselves to God's ability to do so much through us. We do a lot of missions, guys. For a church our size, we do a remarkable amount of missions. And I'm not talking about in the fall. Lord willing, there are no disaster trips needed, but we are prepared to go this fall in the bad season to handle disasters. I'm not talking about Haiti, which I've now just referred to when I get sweaty enough that I have no dry clothes. I just call it Haiti hot. Like I was Haiti hot this weekend. How's that for you? It's great. Everything was wet. No rain. We do a lot. And one of the things I want you to keep in mind as we talk about wisdom is that one of the ways we grow is by experiencing things outside of ourselves. Being wrapped up in who we are and all of our daily dilemmas doesn't help us grow all that much. But getting outside and realizing that just through my Facebook feed in the past 12 months, three children, youth, have been gunned down in the streets of Helena, West Helena, Arkansas, since I was there last summer. You think that we would stand for that if it happened in Pelham? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But it's happened there. And so we go there because we are able, because God has blessed us, to go someplace and to tell people it's not always going to be like this. God has given us the ability to do that. But if we just live in our own little worlds, we forget how wide the world is. I encourage you, one of the things we do is we make it very possible for anyone to experience a mission trip. If you go down to the far end of the hall, like you know, way down yonder by the fireside room, you'll see 10 years of trips to Mexico. I'm thinking about moving those so you can see them more easily. But regardless, you can look and see faces. You can see Brad Jeffcoat rocking a sweet ponytail, which is awesome. I'm not going to tell you I don't have a picture of it on my phone, because I do. You can see these trips that people went on to make a difference in the DNA of this church and the DNA of this church being a part of the world. And what I want to say to you as we kind of wrap up our series of reports on missions is that as a church, we are willing to help you be a part of that. Don't let something stand in your way from experiencing God's work in the world. Now, briefly, I would like to talk to you about wisdom. Wisdom is important. It's so important we named our daughter Wisdom. Sophia is Greek for wisdom. In fact, Quinn is Gaelic for wisdom. And if any of you speak Gaelic, you might want to dispute that, but none of you do, so I'm not worried about it. Gaelic's one of those languages that you can get a wide variety of opinions about what things mean. Wisdom is a difficult subject, and I'll tell you why wisdom is so hard right now. We live in an age of misinformation. As much as you're able, I want you to set your opinion aside for a minute. Some of you are verily. We're also going to do it all in like Shakespearean English. So, verily prepare thyselves. Setteth apart thy opinion from thine own being. As much as you're able, set your opinion aside for a moment. And I want to talk about Target. Okay? This week, Target announced that they're going to do away with gender-based advertising in their children's toy department. Okay? Now, I'm sure you got an opinion about that. Let me be really honest with you. I don't care. All right? Set your opinion aside for a minute. Set your indignation aside for a minute. Whatever you got, set your joy or sorrow aside for a moment. And I want to tell you a little thing that happened. We live in a very interesting world of the internet, because what happened is when Target announced this, people responded on their Facebook page. But there was a particular individual who set up what we call a troll account, okay? And this guy created an account posing as Target customer service, responding to the complaints on the Facebook page. So that when people said, "We hate this, we're never going to shop here again," this guy would say things like, "Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you." And his Facebook picture was the Target circle. I'm not going to lie, it was hilarious. Because then people would say, "Well, I can't believe Target's responding about this. I'm going to call corporate." And then he would go, "Oh, please don't do that. It's my first day on the job." I mean, he spent 16 hours responding to Facebook. I don't know what he does that he has that kind of time. But I, for one, am kind of thankful that he has that time. Because I won't say it's required reading, but it's pretty close for going back to school. It's awesome. Here's why I want to talk about that. Target made this announcement about a very particular part of their store where they were going to stop gender-based advertising of toys. Okay? When you get into the comments on the Facebook page of Target, it starts things like this. "I heard Target's going to have unisex dressing rooms. Next thing, I hear Target's going to have unisex bathrooms." Now, of course, this guy responds with, "You're right. That is our plan. And we'll make sure to send you a note when they're in place so you can come visit." The thing is this. Target announced a very particular thing. And we can have all the opinions we want about that very particular thing. But what Target didn't announce was unisex changing rooms, unisex clothing departments, unisex sporting goods. I don't think those are already divided anyway, but unisex bathrooms. They didn't announce any of that. But about 50% of the commenters on the Target Facebook page were convinced that those were the things that were happening now. Let me tell you what happens to us. We get upset, and then we believe anything. We get upset, we get emotional, and there is all sorts of data to prove that we feel faster than we think. You can hook an EKG and a heart and a brain monitor up to someone and you can tell them something, and it is very clear that there is an emotional body response before there is an electrical brain response. And what we are learning, or what the wise among us have probably known for a long time, is that a lot of times what we think is just the justification of what we already feel. So what is wisdom in an age of misinformation? I'm not telling you not to have your opinions, but I'm telling you to slow down. Okay? Both this passage from Proverbs and the passage from Ephesians talk about this duality. There is wisdom in the world, and Proverbs is full of the personification of wisdom as this magnificent woman who has opened up this feast, and contrary to popular belief, it is not esoteric. It is not only for a select few. The table of wisdom is wide open. She even mixed her wine, so it doesn't matter if you want a Malbec or a Shiraz. She just swirled them all together. It's a sweet table red. Go to town. I know very little about wine, so whatever you want to do with that. She has prepared a feast and invited everyone, and the big question all along is, are we eating there? Can I tell everybody that for just a second? Yeah. I said, are we eating there? Rebecca said, yes! And a little child shall lead them. Man, God is saying to us, wisdom is available. St. Paul writes, don't live like foolish dummies, but be wise. Don't live that way, but be wise. Because it is an alternative. And every day we're doing one or the other. Every day when we spread misinformation, or we spread bigotry, or we spread hate, or we act like Jesus doesn't make a difference in the world, we are being foolish. The best way I know to explain this concept is from my familiarity with French cooking, or French onions, I'm not sure which. You'll know I'm pretty fluent in French, right? Have y'all heard my French Christmas carols before? Jill's pretty excited, I can tell. Every Christmas, I bust out the French version of Jingle Bells, which I'll just go ahead and sing a little snippet of for you. Jongle bleu, jongle bleu, jongle à droite. Straight up French. Basically, if they ever need to rehire the chef from The Little Mermaid, I've got a job. Now, there is a term in French which I will give you. This is real French. Called mise en place. I'll spell it for you. M-I-S-E space E-N space P-L-A-C-E. But when you're French, you don't use the chocolate E to make the A long, so you just go with mise en place. And what it means is to be prepared. It's a culinary term. It's a term for how chefs in professional kitchens really function. When you cook at your house, if you're anything like us, or if you're anything like me, I won't rope Jill into this one, you start, and then you realize you don't have everything out that you need. And so then you go digging through drawers. And then you go digging through the dishwasher. And then you go digging through the sink. And eventually you get everything you need right about the time that you burned the macaroni. But professional chefs, chefs who take this seriously, they have everything laid out. They come with something like already prepared. I'm not sure what I'm going to cook with these three things here. But if I was a professional chef, I would have it. If you ever watch anything with professional chefs in real life, they actually bring their own knives to everything, right? I'm not going to throw this. I told Dixie that on her next to last Sunday at church, I was going to start my knife throwing practice. I'm not going to throw this knife. I'm not saying I'm never going to throw a knife. I'm not going to throw this one. Professional chefs take their own tools, no matter what kitchen they're at, because they lay out and they get prepared. How many of us approach our faith with any level of preparation? See, wisdom has this table that's wide open, right? But I would venture to guess that a lot of us don't show up for dinner very often. There's this wide open table of this God who is alive and at work in the world and who in various ways wants to shape us into better human beings, better followers of Jesus. But how many of us spend any time with that? The concept of mise en place is that you will do better when you are prepared, when you have all your stuff ready to go. Now, to be ready to go for God means that you have to have this kind of daily practice of prayer, of the reading of Scripture, of being with people other than yourself, of spreading a message of God's forgiveness and love to the world. It means you got to show up and be with other Christians and be in worship. It means you need to sing. As Paul says, don't be foolish, but instead, he assumes that you're getting together to sing songs and pray. I think back to school shopping is ridiculous. Okay? I know a lot of you are teachers or parents or grandparents, but you come out with these super detailed lists, okay? And I love that our church supports various organizations and we do some school supply raising, and I'm not against that at all. I'm just against the concept of the super detailed list. Because things show up on the list that don't exist in the real world. Yellow, vinyl, pocketed, non-bratted folder. Hole punched. I went to like 7 stores. And finally Jill randomly found one. We won, eventually. It's so specific because teachers know what they need. As hard a time as I give about that, They know what they need, and they don't want to have superfluous things. They want to have waste. They want to have this control. So back-to-school shopping is an institution where Walmart and Target, and I don't care where else, rearrange their store so that you'll have access to what you need. It's an institution that takes per family, I don't know, 40 or 50 man hours. Person hours. Yeah, I just made that up. I'm cool with it. The point is this. Preparation in every other aspect of our lives, we expect it to take time. David's a runner. David, you ever gone to run a marathon with no training? Like when you started running, you were like, hey, instead of starting with a 5K or like a 1K, I think I'll start with a 26-miler. I went on a 100-mile bike ride once. I'd been riding a lot. And then I didn't ride for several months. But I'd already committed to this 100-mile bike ride. And I'm just dumb enough to do it. So at 4 o'clock, this guy shows up at my house in the morning and says, let's go. I didn't ride a bike after that for 6 months. It just destroyed me. 108.8 miles. I remember it on my little clock. Because I was done for a while. It was dumb to do that without preparation, and it hurt me. Most of our life, we understand, takes preparation. If you're not a mechanic, you don't pop open the hood of your car and start pulling cables. You don't know what that's hooked up to. What is crazy is that so many of us understand so many aspects of our lives require preparation, and we're willing to do it for the things that are important. But are we doing it for the most important thing? Excuse me. Like anything, it's best to start small. Are you praying every day? Are you reading Scripture every day? Are you telling one other person, I love you, every day? Are you telling somebody who's hard to love, I love you every day? I firmly believe that God wants to change the world and God wants to do it through us. I firmly believe that God wants to change us. But you can't show up every once in a while and expect it to happen. The banquet table of wisdom is wide open for business. You don't even have to prepare anything once you're there, but you have to show up. Will you? Amen.